he likes all kinds of worship. Jesus loves the African worship, praise God. You know, I don't know about you, but I can sometimes, when we get into our African thing, I can imagine Jesus getting that, I mean, really doing this, doing his thing, praise God. See, y'all gonna be surprised when y'all get to heaven. Y'all gonna see Jesus is he be jamming. Glory to God. Amen. You know, if you read the Bible, God used to command Israel to party. He commanded parties. He commanded them to enjoy themselves. All right. Praise God. Amen. Before we get started, we have a book in the back. It's called Breaking Unhealthy Soul Ties by Bill and Sue Banks. And if you don't know what a soul tie is, a soul tie encompasses a number of things. A lot of times it encompasses a friendship. If you've been close to a friend or a person that you know is a bad influence, whether it's another male or another female, but that person you seem to be connected to through some kind of covenant relationship somehow, and that person is hurting your walk with Christ, you got to learn to break that tie. Amen. The majority of soul ties that we have to deal with are those of a sexual nature. That's why we try to tell you, ladies, if you're virgins, stay that way. Praise God, until you get married. It's not that we don't want you having any fun. We want you to have fun, but fun within a safe context. Because some of these guys, they'll use you and leave you. And then you're heartbroken, and for years upon years upon years, you can't get so-and-so off your mind. I know I went through that with a girl when I was growing up, praise God. And it took me a long time before, after coming to Christ, to have that thing broken over me, that her influence and desire broke. And Satan still would try to bring her back on me at times. But I've learned the secret of breaking the soul tie. So if you are struggling with that, and I probably think that just about everybody in here has struggled with it at one time or another, I recommend this book. And it's only $1. Amen. It's only $1. So just pay for it. If you can't afford a dollar, let me know. As long as I know you'll read it, we'll give it to you. Amen? Amen. My concern is for you. You got to give me a dollar.
That's what
I want. We got one more in the back. If I find out that it's a popular entity, I will make sure I get more. I will be speaking in New Bedford on the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. I will be doing a Holy Ghost seminar. They call it a revival, but I've been asked to specifically teach on the Holy Spirit. So that's what we'll be doing on the 22nd, 23rd, 24th. If anybody wants to come out, I'll give you the address, or we'll arrange for you to come out and get picked up or whatever have you. It'd be nice to get some support from my church, praise God. I know New Bedford's a pretty long ways away, but remember, I don't ask you to do much, and I won't pressure you to do this one like I would ask you to do to be with me at some of the local ones. So I know this one's far away, but if you want to come, if you feel that you can be there to support your pastor, I'd love to have you. Praise God. It's New Bedford, I can tell you right now, is a tough area, and so I need some saints with me, some mighty praying warrior saints that's going to back their pastor in prayer. Praise God. Amen. All right. On that, won't we stand? I'm going to turn off this microphone. Hold your Bibles up in the air, wave them in the devil's face. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word is
devil destruction power.
With my Bible,
I can defeat the devil
every single day.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word
is the revelation
of His will for my life.
Whatever it says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it
in Jesus' name.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Father, help us to be doers of this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in God's presence. Praise God. Amen. We are actually on the fourth part of our A's for active aggression against the devil. This is our fourth and last part. I know we had a guest speaker last week, and she will be doing a revival on the 29th of April, which is this coming Wednesday. Cleopatra Watson, good friend of Pastor Mary's, and now myself. And I would encourage you, if you weren't able to make it, because I know some of you had to work, and you know some of you are in the professions where you have to do that, and I completely understand. But if you weren't able to make it out this Sunday, I can tell you, I think you need to go this Wednesday. Praise God. And if you are not doing anything on the 7th, at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, please, I beg you, go out. Go to the revival. We got the cards in the back. If you need a ride, if you want me to come get you, I'll come get you. I just want you to go to this thing so bad. It's not doing anything for me, praise God, for you to be out there. I'm concerned about you. And I know that you need a variety of teachers and preachers that's going to help to build you up, because I don't have everything. Amen. I have, you know, what I have, you need. What I have, the other parts of the body of Christ needs, and that's why you see that God has me going to different places. You see people buying my books, and people are listening to our messages online and stuff like that, and they're in love with this ministry. But I also have needs that I can't meet for myself, so I have to listen to other preachers and teachers, and you have needs that I can't necessarily meet. And you've got to listen to other preachers and teachers. Praise God.
Amen.
But only those who are focused on the Word of God and those that your pastor recommends. Amen. 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 Be very careful, some of these guys that are out there, because some of them are not concerned about you. They're concerned about other things other than you. And you're just a means to an end. Amen. And on that note, just 7 o'clock this Wednesday, please be out there. And the address, as I said, is in the back. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about A's for active aggression, and we went through several of them. Does anybody remember what they were? What did you say? No, anybody except Pastor Mary. Pastor Mary, you don't get to speak. Anybody? And Nancy, because I know she took notes. All right, Nancy, you go ahead. Say what the first two are.
Aggression, adversary,
advantage.
That's it?
Yep, those are the first three. Good job. Anybody can tell me what are the next ones? All right. I'm going to be nice. All right. Nancy named off the first three. What are the first three?
Affliction.
Say it together.
Affliction.
Let me know you're alive here. Say it.
Affliction.
What's the second one?
Adversary.
What's the third one?
Advantage.
What's the fourth?
Sanction.
What's the fifth?
Annihilated.
Affliction. The affliction does not come from God. It comes from the devil, who is our adversary. Praise God. And
The devil attempts to take advantage of us.
Oh, the other thing I forgot to announce, we will be having Sunday school for the children, maybe in another week or two, praise God. Amen. We're getting some Sunday school material together. We're getting teachers together. If you want to be a teacher, let me know. We will be glad to talk to you. I already believe that I have that God has blessed us with one wonderful teacher who I will announce next week. Praise Jesus. Amen. But we don't want just one person doing it. So, but right now, still try to discipline your children until we can get to that point. So anyway, Satan will try to take advantage of you. But because of the ascension of Christ, Satan has been defeated, and Satan and his principalities and powers are under our feet. Satan's works have been annihilated. Praise God. All right. Now, what did we discuss after that? Anybody can tell me what did we discuss after that? It's right up on the board. What did we discuss after that?
Authority.
Because of the ascension of Christ, and because Jesus has annihilated the works of the devil, you can walk in authority over the works of the devil. Praise God. But look out, because you know what Satan's going to do? Even though he knows you have authority, you may not know you have authority, so he's going to try you. So what is he going to do to you?
Attack.
So if he's going to attack, then you must stay
alert.
Hallelujah. And you must also stay
armed.
You must stay armed. The Bible tells us that we must put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, who's supposed to put the armor on you?
I.
Me? Is Jesus supposed to put the armor on you?
No.
No. Man, you old grown thing. What do you need somebody to be dressing you for? Now, you see my two daughters over here. Now, wouldn't I look pretty perverted to be dressing my daughters in the morning? I mean, they in there. Oh, I can't get the ages. They look young, so just keep it at that. But let me tell you something. They old enough to where I ain't got no business be dressing them anymore, praise God. Mm-hmm. If I had to dress them, something's wrong with all of us here. Praise God. Amen. They are at the place now they can dress themselves. When I was in the military, I had all kinds of armor and chem gear that I needed to put on. The military issued it to me. They taught me how to put it on. And so when they had drills and things like that, guess who had to put on my armor?
Yes,
me. My drill sergeant didn't come in my room and say, all right, Edwards, stand still and let me dress you. No, because then I would have thought something was wrong with him. Amen. So thank God that I learned how to dress myself. People, parents, please control your children, please. Amen. So you have to arm yourself. Jesus has provided you with the armor. You must arm yourself. So we have learned several A's. We're going to finish the last A's, but let's go over them one more time just so that you can get them memorized. The first one is
affliction.
Come on, y'all. I can't hear you. Act like you're Pentecostals. Let's stand together. What's the first one?
Affliction.
What's the second one?
Adversary.
What's the third one?
Advantage.
The fourth one?
Ascension.
The sixth one?
Annihilation.
Fifth one, excuse me.
Annihilation.
What's the sixth one?
Authority.
What's the seventh one?
Attack.
What's the eighth one?
Alert.
What's the ninth one?
Armed.
All right, praise God. So now let's go to the tenth one. You must learn to be aggressive, praise God, when you're standing against the wiles of the devil. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. You see, if you're going to put on the whole armor of God, you can't be a wimp about it. Satan loves wimps.
You know what a wimp is? A wimp is not somebody who gets defeated. A wimp is somebody who gives up after they've been defeated. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
You know, when I was young, you know, Muhammad Ali was the boxing champion. He was boxing champion, then he get defeated, and then he come back in and win again and stuff like that. I actually was not a big Muhammad Ali fan until I got older and watched some of his earlier fights and saw, wow, this guy took on some big dudes, and he won. You know, I have respect for Muhammad Ali, even if I don't agree with his religion or anything like that. I respect Muhammad Ali for this fact. He never gave up, praise God. Muhammad Ali would get whacked in the ring, and he would say, well, I'm gonna get him the next time. And he would. A rematch would happen, Muhammad Ali would get back in the ring, and he'd win. You see, you don't quit. You gotta be aggressive, praise Jesus. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. When you have it, signify by saying amen. If you don't have it, then just look up at the board. We put it up there for you. But I would encourage you that you must have your Bible, because this is your sword. And if you don't know how to use your sword, then everything I'm teaching you is meaningless. Because the sword is involved in all of it. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Who's supposed to put on the armor of God?
You.
Who puts on the armor of God?
You.
There you go. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Who takes unto them the whole armor of God?
You.
There you go. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And listen to this. And having done all, to stand. Praise God.
Amen.
A lot of people read this passage the wrong way. They read it, it says, having done all, to say, well, I've done all. I've done all I can do. I'm done. No. Jesus said, even after you've done all, you continue to stand. Say stand.
Stand.
That means you don't quit. That means you don't give up. That means I don't care if you've been praying and asking God and confessing and believing for past 90 days. Then you go to day 91. If it doesn't happen on day 91, then guess what you do?
Continue.
You go on that day 92. If it doesn't happen on day 92, then what do? You go to day 93. If it don't happen on day 110, guess what you do? You go to 111, praise God. Or, as Pastor Mary put it, continue, praise Jesus. In other words, you don't quit until you see the manifestation or you die. Amen. I'm at the place in my life and Christian walk with Jesus that I will believe him until the day I die. Hallelujah. I think I was telling somebody this story about George Mueller. He was a great man of faith back in the late 1800s. And he had an orphanage of over several thousand children. And he had to believe God to feed these children every single day. And the cost of feeding them was over several million dollars. Now, in the 1800s, that was a lot of money. You think $1 million is a lot of money now? How many of y'all was like $1 million? Well, back then, that was a lot of money. That's a lot of money now in 2015, talk about.
Yeah.
But he had to believe God for $1 million worth of food and stuff for them children every day. And every day God met him, praise Jesus. One day they were sitting down at the table. There was no food in the pantry, in the kitchen whatsoever. And they didn't know how, the staff didn't know what they were going to do. They didn't know how to, what they were, how they were going to feed the children. George Mueller said, call all the children, have them sit down at the table, get the plates, the forks and knives, and get them ready. And so they all got the children. You know, everybody thinking George Mueller's crazy, as they always do a man of faith. Their children sat down. They said grace. After they said grace, then there was a bunch of trucks that started coming by. And one guy said, you know, the Lord has spoken to me this morning that I need to bring some food over here. Praise God. See, now George Mueller was a great man of faith. You know, he's had several of these type of stories. But I know there was two people he was praying for that they would be saved. He said, both of these guys, he'd been praying for them for over 50 years to give their lives to Christ. And that was 50 years and he still hadn't given up on seeing them get saved. One of them got saved just before he died. The other one got saved at his funeral. Praise God. Amen. See, you can believe God. And it may not happen while you're alive, but God continues to answer your prayers even after your death. Hallelujah. Yes. He honors your prayers. He honors you in heaven, and he honors your prayers. So if you are praying for your children to be saved, you've been praying for them for 5 years, then what are you going to do after 5 years? Keep praying. You go to year 6. You go to year 10. When you're 75 years old and they still ain't acting right, you keep on praying. Amen.
Amen.
When you're 90 and you know you're ready to go to be with Jesus and they still ain't saved, then you know what you're going to do? You're going to pray until you're dead. My children, I will not give up until after I'm dead. Praise God.
Amen.
And maybe at my funeral, they'll start crying and say, I need to give my life to Christ so I can see my daddy again. Amen. Now, they hate daddy that much, they want to go to hell that bad, and you know, hey, what am I going to do? but I'm going to keep praying. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So you pray. Keep praying for your children. Keep praying for your loved ones. Keep praying for that ministry God has called you to. Glory to God.
Amen.
Keep praying for your church. Keep praying for your pastor. Man, I've been praying for pastor. I've been in this church for 5 years and been praying for pastor. And he's still crazy. Well, keep praying for me. I don't know if God will change me on that one, but just keep praying. Amen. Amen. I like what one man said. He said, if you want a new pastor, he said, pray for the one you got. God will change him. He'll be a new pastor.
Amen.
All right. Don't go run into another church because you'll find one that's just as crazy or crazier than I am. So just put up with me. Amen. But don't quit. Don't give up. You got to keep standing. You cannot let go of the reins. You just believe God. Don't listen to these people that say, well, you've been praying for that thing for 3 months. Maybe it's not God's will. Don't you listen to that garbage. You stand. If you know that that God has either promised it to you in the word or he has promised it to you by speaking into your heart, then you don't quit. Amen.
Amen.
Don't give up. Don't settle for less than the best. You stay aggressive. You attack that thing aggressively until you see it come to pass. I can tell you, I can tell you stories, but I'm not going to get into a lot of stories today because I want to try to finish this whole thing up. But I do know that in my own life, I am so glad that God taught me this type of bulldog tenacity concerning faith. Because I tell you, I would not even be walking with Christ today if I didn't have it. Because there's been situations in my life where, boy, I say, man, I don't know if I'm going to make this one. I don't know if I'm going to handle this one. There's been some temptations in my life that made me just want to just throw the towel in and just say, hey, I don't know if I can keep living this Christian walk. But I tell you, with Christ, I have been able to walk this walk, talk this talk, and make it through all the trials and temptations that I've encountered in my life. But I had to learn to be aggressive, praise God.
Amen.
I've had to learn to say, hey, Satan, I don't care how much you attack. I don't care what you do. I will continue to believe my Father to get me through this thing. Glory to God.
Amen.
I tell you, yep, talking about the sickness that's going around, I mean, yeah. I hadn't called out of work for over 3 years until last Wednesday. Or was it Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. Thursday morning was the first time in 3 years. And even then, I really wasn't going to call out. I was going to just believe God. And no matter how I was feeling, I said, I'm going to go. I'm going to believe God. But my wife thought I was being foolish, so she made me call out. But I continued, you know, even as sick as I was feeling, I stood on God's word. Hallelujah. I continue to believe God that by his stripes I am healed, that he has promised that he carried my sicknesses and he carried my pains. I continue to believe God for healing in my body. And Thursday evening, I was here at prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And full health in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I know that God is a healer. I just believe and I stood and no matter, and it didn't happen right away. Sometimes I get healing instantly. I mean, you know, there's been some times I've had some severe headaches and my wife would try to make me take medicine and I said, no, if I can't believe God to heal me of a headache, then I can't believe him for anything else. And, you know, sometimes I would just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the healing. I command this headache to go in Jesus' name. And it leave me instantly. Now, other times, it would persist. And you know what I would do then? Still believe God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, should you not take medicine? That's not a problem. See, there's, you know, everybody is at a certain level of faith. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't condemn, not only do I not condemn people for where their level is at, I have many times gone out and bought the medicine for people. Amen. Because that, you know, I was there at one time too. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's just easy to just take a pain pill than to sit there for hours and say, I believe Jesus, I believe Jesus. Sometimes it's easy to do that. But see, for me, because of the level of ministry God has called me to, and because of the things he's calling me to do and the books he's calling me to write, I am responsible to operate at a certain level of faith than many of you people are. So I have to do that. Amen.
Amen.
And so, but you can, your faith can go higher and higher. Even if you do take medicine, you still say, Father God, even though I'm taking this aspirin, I'm trusting you to heal me. Amen.
Amen.
Say, this medicine may be helping me get rid of my symptoms, but you are the one who's going to heal the actual affliction in my body.
I'm
not ready. So that you stand, you just take your stand on the promises of God. Don't quit. Don't give up until you see your faith come through. And that's what I did Thursday. I just had to keep believing God until I was completely, totally healed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now I'm trying to teach that to my wife so she can get to that level. But, you know, no, but I'm proud of my wife because one thing, there was a time she would not. When she got sick, she was just sick, period. Don't bother me with that Christian stuff, that faith stuff. Now I see my wife, even though she's still suffering, she don't go around saying, I'm sick. My wife continues to say, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Thank you. She may say it with some faintness in her mouth, but she'll continue to say, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed.
Amen.
You know, there's a... Now, I can talk about my wife because she ain't here. Y'all ain't going to tell them, y'all. But they'll probably tell them not here. But, you know, there's a difference between me and my wife when we both get sick. When I'm sick, I'm quiet. I just leave me alone. I just want some peace. My wife, when she gets sick, she want to talk.
Mm.
I don't be getting that. I'm like,
she wants to walk around and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you... And we all looking at each other like, you know. So, but the thing is, you you know, when I'm sick, you know, leave me alone. I'm just going to believe Jesus, but I don't want to talk. Please don't talk to me. I just want to lay quietly and suffer in silence. So, you know, everybody has a different reaction, but I mean, I'm proud of my wife that she will confess the word of God. So y'all stay aggressive in this thing. So, real quickly, that word withstand, where it says to stand against the wiles of the devil, and then it goes down to verse 13 and says that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Say withstand.
Withstand
in
evil.
Hallelujah. That word withstand, it comes from the word anathestami, which means to set oneself against, to withstand, to resist, and to oppose. That means you don't quit and you don't give up, praise God. No matter what the devil throws at you, no matter what them demons throw at you, you need to remember those first several A's in which Jesus has annihilated his works, and that he has given you authority over his works, and that he has to give in sooner or later. See, the devil knows that he has to stop doing what he has to obey your command, but he will continue to take as much room as you allow him. And if he can get you to give up your authority, he will. But what you have to do is keep exercising your authority, and the Bible says he will leave you sooner or later. Praise God.
Amen.
The devil must flee. So, if you're going to be aggressive, then you must stand against and withstand every attack that the enemy gives you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Satan doesn't give up easily, and neither should you. Mm-hmm. Don't shame your father. All right, the next A. We got two more A's. Affirmation. Say affirmation.
Affirmation.
That's what we were just talking about a moment ago. Affirmation. Your confession. Your agreement with the word of God. You see, you must agree with this book, and you must speak out of your mouth what the book says about your situation. Amen?
Amen.
You must say what God's word says. That is what we mean by, you know, those of us in the faith movement, we call it positive confession. That is opposite of a negative confession, which not negative as in bad, but see, negative as in if I sin, I confess my sins to Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
1 John chapter 1, verse 9. When I sin, the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness if I confess my sins. When I am confessing my sins, what I am doing is saying the same thing about my sins that Jesus has said about my sins. Jesus said that my sins are bad. Now, you might, in your mind, your little puny, unsanctified mind may not think that certain things are bad. You may not think that looking at that fine young woman is bad. Oh, he's just being human. No, Jesus said you have committed adultery in your heart. Praise God.
Amen.
And some of us have committed adultery on an hourly basis. We need to stop it. Praise God.
Amen.
We may not think that unfaithfulness to God is all that bad. We ask you. You say that you're going to show up at church on Thursday and help clean the bathroom, and then you decide, well, I just don't feel like going, so you don't show up. We don't think that's such a sin, right? Jesus said that's a sin. Praise God. So when you are confessing your sins, when you are saying, Jesus, forgive me, you are telling Jesus that I agree with you that that is a bad thing I just did. So that was just a little bit of teaching on what it means to confess negatively. But another, a bad negative confession is one in which you are speaking the opposite of what Jesus says. For example, let's go back to healing, because that's such an easy topic. And because so many people are suffering sickness right now in the sanctuary, we need to deal with this a little bit. When you go around saying,
you know, I know God heals, but I don't know if he'll heal me. That's a bad confession, praise God. Because the Bible says that he desires that those who serve him. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15 says, if you serve the Lord. Deuteronomy 7:15 talks about healing too. But Exodus 23, 24, and 25 says that if I serve the Lord my God, then he will bless my bread and my water, and he will take sickness from the midst of me. See, I speak those kind of words over my life and over my body. I don't go around saying, well, maybe it's not God's will to heal me. No, I may be sick in my body, but I will continue to say that I serve God. I serve him, and he's going to bless my bread, he's going to bless my water, and he's going to take this sickness away from my midst. Hallelujah. Amen. I quote Psalm 91, which tells me that the sickness will not come near my dwelling. Praise God. Amen. I speak those words over myself. I speak those words over my life. I speak those words over my body. You need to learn to make affirmations of faith. Say affirmations.
Affirmation.
You are, what you are doing when you make an affirmation, you affirm what God has already said about your situation. So as we got written up here, always affirm your faith in God's word. Speaking the opposite of what God says closes the door for God to work in your life and opens the door for Satan to work in your life. How many of y'all was here when we talked a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months ago, on speaking the word of God, death and life, and the power of the tongue? Were y'all here? Were y'all paying attention to that message? A few of you were here. The rest of y'all was asleep during that time. Praise God. But if you don't learn to pay attention, well, what can I do for you? Amen. But you got to learn to make affirmations. So always affirm your faith in God's word. Never, ever speak the opposite of what God says. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4 very quickly. And we'll see an example of that with Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, we don't have to read the whole thing. Verses 1 through 11 really talks about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness and how every time Satan would attack him, he would bring forth the word of God. And if Jesus had to do that, then guess who else has to do that? You and me. Amen. You and I are not above our master. Our master had to make positive affirmations of God's word, and you must also make positive affirmations of God's word. Say affirmation.
Affirmation.
Oh, come on, wake up now. Y'all need this. You need this. I know it's getting late. We'll be done in a few minutes, but you need this. If not, you're going to wish you had in a couple of weeks. What was Pastor saying about that again? I'm struggling. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, it says, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. See that? Look at when the devil offers you the world. You better be very careful. Praise God. Amen. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written. Say, it is written.
It is written.
You need to know what it is written if you're going to deal with Satan. Praise God.
Amen.
That's why I encourage you to read this book on a daily basis. You need to know what it is written. Because Satan will offer you something. You may not know it's wrong. You'll take it and then it'll destroy your life. So you stand against the devil with, it is written. Say, it is written.
It is written.
And then he goes on to say, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now look at verse 11. It says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Praise God.
Amen.
How many of y'all know that angels still want to minister to you today? The Bible tells us that that these angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. How many heirs of salvation do I have here today? Oh, I'm so glad I'm an heir of salvation. That means that the angels, that's right, Cocky, the angels are your servants. The angels are your ministers. Now, don't get cocky about that, because you and I are servants as well. Amen.
Amen.
We're supposed to serve one another, but the angels, as great, powerful as they are,
Jesus assigned them as our ministers. And they, just like they ministered to Jesus when after he fought against the devil, they're waiting to minister to you. How many of y'all want ministry from angels? Praise God. I know I do. Those angels are the ones after you have fought the devil. They're the ones who bring you the manifestation of your healing. They're the ones who bring you the manifestation of your job, your prosperity, that husband or that wife you've been praying and asking God for. Hallelujah. Amen. When you keep standing, the ministry angels will bring the thing that you've been believing God for. Now, last word, last A. Accomplished. Say accomplished.
Accomplished.
Praise God. Through God's word, stand firm on your accomplished victory in Christ Jesus. And also, after you've done all the other A's, you will have accomplished your goal, which is to defeat the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's look at one last passage of scripture and we're going to close out. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. It says, I have written unto you, fathers, because... Somebody quiet that back there, please. Mars, could you go back there and make sure everybody's quiet back there? If they're going to be back there. Thanks. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have. Say have.
Have.
Say have.
Have.
Say have.
Have.
What is have? Is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? Past tense, present tense, future tense. Which one is it?
Have.
Have.
It's a
present tense. It could be considered past tense or present tense, but one thing is not, it is not future tense. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You have overcome the wicked one. Praise God.
Amen.
That means your accomplished victory belongs to you right now. Say right now.
Right now.
Say I'm victorious.
I'm victorious.
Right now.
Right now.
Say I'm victorious over this sickness.
I'm victorious over this sickness.
Say I'm victorious over this disease.
I'm victorious over this disease.
Say I'm victorious over this lack.
I'm victorious over this lack.
Say I'm victorious over this being single.
I'm victorious over being single.
I'm victorious over my children being unsaved.
I'm victorious over my sickness.
Hallelujah. See, you are victorious in all of these different areas. Say, I'm victorious over that boss that's getting on my last nerve.
I'm victorious over that boss that's getting on my last nerve.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
You are victorious over that husband or wife that's getting on your last nerve too. Amen.
Amen.
Either they're going to straighten up or... Well, praise God. We won't go there. Let's just say that anything can be replaced. Amen?
Amen.
So God has given you the victory. He's given you accomplished victory. You need to just simply walk in it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Trusting the word of God can change your life. It can change your circumstances. But you've got to trust it. You don't trust God's word, then it's nothing the word of God can do for you. The word of God can work miracles, but you've got to trust the word. Bow your heads and close your eyes. See, Lydia gave a testimony and Pastor Mary pointed out something. We often pray for you. And these prayers are not prayed just for show and tell. I take very seriously the words that I speak over you, over your life. And I'm going to speak some words over you right now. And we're going to declare you victorious in every area of your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your people. Lord, as they have learned all these different aspects of how they can walk in the victory you've given them over Satan, over demons, over every circumstance that the devil would try to bring their way. Father God, I ask that they would retain this word.
that Satan would not be able to steal it in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Lord, that even if they don't exactly fully remember every single A, Lord, that they would be, that the principle would stand strong in their spirit, and they will begin to walk fully in this thing. Lord, that they will stop being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every shadow of doubt. And Lord, that they will begin to walk fully in this, speaking your word, speaking truth, speaking over the devil, speaking the victory in every area of their life in Jesus' precious name. Father God, I break the power that complaining has had in the lives of your people. I break its power right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I break its bind over our mouths in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I break the power of death that's been coming out of our mouths in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father God, move your people now that they will speak light,
amen,
healing,
amen,
and health,
amen,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In every part of their life, in every part of their circumstances, and in every part of their church. Lord, I give you all glory and honor in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, now we'll close out. Unless you have anything you want to pray for, anybody have anything they need to pray for before we close out? If not, let's receive the benediction. Lift the hand up. And may the grace of our Lord shine upon you always as you leave this place, but never from his presence. May the angel of the Lord encamp about you as you fear him, keeping you, giving you guard, giving him guard over you, keeping you from all hurt, all harm, all accidents, all sickness, all disease, in the name of Jesus. May he prosper you on your jobs. May he prosper you in your homes,
amen,
and your families,
amen,
and in your marriages,
amen,
and everything you set your hand to do,
amen.
May God prosper you in it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.
Amen.
Amen. Hello, copy. It might be next week. It might be the weekend. Why? Am I boring you? Okay. You'll have it back there for a while, and then until we. But see, pray for us to get a new building so we can move out of this building and have a bigger building. I want.
Oh my goodness!
Oh.